Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday off a weekend. You had to make choices. There was so much sports. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're right here on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. Plenty of both. Nice to have you in. Joy Taylor joining me. Choices, that's what we had to make all weekend. We had to make choices. There were too many games on.
Yep, like you could choose to lose or you could choose to go to the NBA Finals.
I know, you're very, very happy. And you should be. So let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Magical Russell Wilson pulls it off. And so I've been kind of complaining about the Cowboys for the last 2 years. What's their identity? Like, what are they? I know what they're not. What are they? This morning, it's official. Dallas is a good team. And Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He had 470 yards last night, 93 quarterback rating. He just happened to be playing the best football player on earth. But Dallas is a good team. They're pretty good on third down. They're pretty good at getting first downs. 460 net passing yards. They lost very close to the Rams and Seahawks. That's what a good team would do on the road. They were close, but they couldn't pull it out. They have all the qualities of a good team. They fight really, really hard. They never give up. They've got some really special players. And they have one great unit. Damn, their wide receivers. They are unbelievably. Cedric Wilson now is another great one. Good teams almost always have one great unit. But like the Raiders and the Titans and the Colts, they just don't have that special quarterback that can take you from good to great. Raiders are just like that. Raiders have one great unit, offensive line and running game. They can really pound it. They can really lean on you. But the Titans and the Colts and the Raiders in Dallas, the difference between them and, you know who they are, is there's a hole somewhere and they can't solve it. And for the record, the NFL is sort of two food groups here. Hey, you're pretty good, or you're not very good. And for Dallas, you're in the right group. You're good. I mean, let's be honest. Is every restaurant you go to great? Dallas is a 3-star out of a 5. You'd certainly go again. You enjoyed yourself. It was a solid meal, better than making it at home. Is every movie you see great? Dallas is a 3-star movie out of a 5. Like one of those Michael Bay movies. Certainly passes the time, lots of explosions. They won't be handing out any awards for Michael Bay movies. Now, the NFC East is absolutely dreadful. It is the worst division in the NFL by a long shot, and it's quite possibly the worst division in a decade. So you've got some time at the trading deadline maybe to pull off a deal. You'd have to pull off a couple. But tonight, Ravens Chiefs, you will see great and special. Last night, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that was great. There's a little bit of that in the league. Tiny, tiny. And most of our lives are a bunch of good. And what creates anger and resentment is when you keep trying to convince yourself your good is great. You can look at the box score. Dallas is a good football team. They go to the Rams, come within a play. Atlanta got lucky to win. Last night, close but couldn't make it. And Dak Prescott largely personifies the entire franchise. Get your first downs, get your yards, keep it close, certainly make plays. But final two drives, the other quarterback made the play, and Dak couldn't make the play because good quarterbacks against great quarterbacks just don't. And that's okay. But if you keep trying to convince yourself the good in your life is great, it'll drive you nuts. It'll make you angry. You'll wake up in a weekend morning and go to Twitter and scream at people. Good is what most of our lives are surrounded by and you just got to own it. Maybe at the trading deadline they pull something off, but we now know what they are. The exact same thing they were last year and the year before and the year before. Now, most of you did not watch Tom Brady yesterday. You were watching the Cowboy game against the Seahawks. So for most of you that did not see it, let me fill you in on what happened. Brady was excellent. 300 yards, 115 passer rating against the Vic Fangio defense. Eight different Buccaneers had two catches. Gronk had six. The defense is filthy. Excellent pass rush. Maybe the best linebacking core in the NFL. And I got to be honest, everybody banged on Tampa's secondary. Todd Bowles is coaching his butt off because I like it. It is young and it is hyper-athletic. I know you didn't watch that game outside of Denver and Tampa. I did. The game you did watch with Tampa was the first game against New Orleans. No preseason, no OTAs, a bunch of different pieces. Leonard Fournette just got there. The Saints at home and healthy. And that game, they look completely out of sync. No, they are no longer out of sync. This is a Super Bowl team. And unlike Russell Wilson, and unlike Patrick Mahomes, and unlike Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady once again, and this is why he's got all those Super Bowl trophies, Tom Brady once again has a Super Bowl defense. Tampa Bay and Tom, like Peyton Manning years ago in Denver, Tom got to choose the team he went to. And Tom Brady chose wisely. Tampa Bay has a wealth of talent. There is not a single unit for the Ravens, the Chiefs, or the Buccaneers that is a problem. They're imperfect. We have a salary cap. Nobody's going to be the 75 Steelers or the 1998 Yankees. I mean, these are not, you know, we got salary caps here, folks. Everybody's got issues. Even in baseball, when you have no salary cap, it's hard to find the perfect team with injuries. And this isn't a perfect team. The secondary's young, and it's Tampa Bay special teams. Cross your fingers. But that is potentially a great football team with a wealth of talent. And like wealthy people, your problems aren't like real people problems. Here's Brady afterward nitpicking the win.
Still a lot to learn. There's a lot to grow. There's a lot of room for improvement. I know everyone feels that way. By no means was this nearly close to what we're capable of.
Yeah. Tom's big knock yesterday was, I'm not getting the ball enough to Mike Evans. A problem is you don't have anybody as good as Mike Evans. Tampa's problem is we have him. We only threw two balls to him. I mean, they were both touchdowns, but we just got to get the ball more to Mike Evans. That is not a real problem in the NFL. I know most of you only watch them against the Saints. This is a really, really loaded football team. And Brady's career has been marked not by his athletic ability, not by his arm, not by his escapability, but he mostly has really, really good judgment. He chose the right roster. This was a roster for the last 3 or 4 years that we kept talking about. Boy, they draft well. And oh, my Lord, look at their weapons. And this is the right team to pick. He could have picked maybe the Colts. Some people talked about, you know, the 49ers. And all I know is when I watched that yesterday, that team and the two you watched tonight, I don't see a flaw. I don't see it. That team, and the other thing is, they're winning that division. Okay, I don't know if they'll be the number one seed. They're going to win that division. I've watched the Saints now 3 weeks in a row, and they look really nice in the first week, but it's becoming very apparent. Everybody's got film. They don't throw the ball down the field. This Tampa Bay team can throw it deep. They can throw it in the seam. They can hand it off. They can throw it in the backfield, and Todd Bowles remains maybe the best coordinator in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan for years was the best coordinator in the NFL. I think Todd Bowles at Tampa may be the best coordinator in the NFL. When you're a coordinator and you go get a head coaching job, which he did in the Jets, and it fails, we forget how great of a coordinator you were. Tampa Bay is good. Really, really good. Okay, so the question begins then. All right, so what do we make of the Green Bay Packers? You watched them. I watched them. Thoughts on that the Packers, plus Greg Jennings this hour coming up. Oh, by the way, LeBron made another finals. We'll talk about that, too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech is more than a grill. It's a lifestyle. It's a smart grill technology. Allows for even heat. Can't go wrong. RecTech, built by grillers for grillers. Go to RecTechwithAQ.com, RecTeQ.com. RecTech grills are absolutely amazing, and we are in the fall and the grilling season. Joy Taylor's got Herd news in a couple of minutes. For years and years, Green Bay is the smallest professional sports city in America. What does that mean? It's a small town. It's a tiny town. Tiny towns always think, you know, the big cities are not paying attention to them, and the big cities are not, they don't give us respect. And so Green Bay, the cheeseheads, always feel a little bit shorted, glanced over, you know, flyover country. And for years and years, it's like, no, you're just not a Super Bowl team. This is not an eye roll. This feels like a team that could win the Super Bowl. Green Bay, this is a good football team. To go into New Orleans without Devontae Adams, who totally changes the offense, without Kenny Clark, that totally changes their defensive line, and then lose your defensive play caller middle of the game and win, and I thought really control the football game. I thought they were clearly the better team. That's impressive, especially since the Saints, a really well-run organization, had been humiliated on a standalone Monday night game the week before, so they were in a foul mood. But late in the game, clearly Green Bay was better. I still think they need one more dynamic piece, either a pass rusher or a complementary piece to Devontae Adams, because yesterday Alan Lazard had 150 yards, but it was a lot of dink and dunk and backs and tight ends. And that blunder by the front office, everybody keeps telling me this team, Aaron Rodgers is dialed in. He is motivated and he is focused because they drafted Jordan Love, which I have defended. But the second round draft pick, the running back, who is now fourth string a month into the season, was a blunder. They whiffed. That was a bad draft pick. It's okay. Green Bay has a history of good draft picks. Has a bad draft pick. He's not playing. You need guys who can help Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Jones is so good at running back, that kid's not going to play. I'll defend you on the blocking tight end. I'll defend you on drafting Jordan Love. I'll defend you on the three interior offensive linemen. You whiffed on the second pick. Because Green Bay needs one more offensive special piece to me, because Devontae Adams now has a little bit of a recent history of getting banged up. You got to have another piece. A veteran in the league can dependably 9 targets, 6 catches for Aaron Rodgers. The Jordan Love thing I'll defend, but I will say this. Let's just talk about the cream of the crust in the NFL. Like, let's not waste our time with, you know, 25 of the teams. To me, we're 3 weeks in. There are 6 teams in this league right now that have a Super Bowl in their sights, and they're coming 2 tiers. Baltimore, Kansas City, and Tampa can win a Super Bowl with their current rosters today. That's tier one. Tier two is Green Bay, Seattle, and New England. They all need to make a move at the trading deadline. Seattle has got to get help on the defensive line. New England has got to get Cam one vertical component offensively, and Green Bay needs at least one more special piece. I would love to see Aaron get one more trustable wide receiver who's been in the league a long time. He's not going to get Allen Robinson from the Bears. Forget that. It's the same division. That would be great. That would be ideal. But that's where we're at right now. This is a real team. This is not an eye roll. This is not everybody's picking on us. This is what a Super Bowl team looks like. They're just, if they stay healthy, Green Bay is just missing one more piece. And front office, let's be honest, you butchered the second round pick. You butchered it. Go get one. You owe Aaron Rodgers one. What is he, 36 years old? You owe him one. Here's Aaron after the game.
Offense, I feel really good about it. We got in a good flow. I feel like, again, Matt, you know, had a really nice flow with the calls. We did a nice job, you know, on third down for the most part. And, you know, we're opportunistic with some big plays when we needed it. Got a lot of guys involved. You know, I think we had a number of guys catch passes. We had a number of guys who we needed to play well, played well.
Also, remember last year, my knock on Green Bay. Matt LaFleur is a young coach. Young coaches are often very good on the script. Green Bay was a very good first half team last year. Take out the Niner games. They obviously script plays. They came in, but they were bad at halftime. And the great coaches in this league, the Andy Reids, The Bill Belichicks, the Pete Carrolls, they're great second half coaches. John Harbaugh, they make adjustments. Green Bay was a lousy second half team. You know what they are this year? They're a really good second half team. And they only had two penalties. So what that tells me is Matt LaFleur is getting better as a coach. Year one, oh, he had a great game plan. Sit in that film room, first 25 plays, and he had no second gear. Green Bay now is a really nice second-half football team. That tells me the coaching's getting better and the efficiency's getting better because they only had two penalties with all those yards against a better-than-average Saints defense. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Guess what, Colin?
What?
The heat is on.
Yes. They're in. Rolled through them, actually.
Listen, we're very nervous. We got it done. What a great NBA Finals, too.
It's got the most stories.
For sure. So they beat the Celtics 125-113 in Game 6 last night to win the East and will battle the Lakers for the NBA title.
Old team versus young team.
Yep. And Pat Riley versus LeBron back against Spoelstra. This is Miami's first trip to the finals since 2014. But Jimmy Butler spoke about how great it feels to be winning with this particular team.
That's what this whole thing comes down to, is being wanted, being appreciated with what you bring to the table. And as I've said time and time again, as Fo constantly says, we're not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. But here I am. And the group of guys that we have, we're for one another. We're going to constantly compete for one another. And this is home for me.
It's really an incredible story for Jimmy Butler.
I mean, he's literally changed his entire brand.
Yep.
He's gone from difficult, can't get along to anybody to what a great leader.
I mean, if you look
one,
back at
6 months,
how we were discussing him, how he was viewed around the league.
He was a malcontent.
Yep.
Couldn't get along with anybody. And then you put him with a good organization and good structure, and now it's like, oh my God, he's helping all these kids out. He's the centerpiece of the organization. It's amazing what stability can do. We forget in the NBA and the NFL. These are kids. They're like 22 years old to 31. They're kids.
Also, the structure in Miami, particularly with Pat Riley, you know, the idea of Miami is like, oh, everything's fun and loose and, you know, margaritas at 3 p.m. But the Heat, that's not how they do things. Pat Riley is a very no-nonsense individual. He runs things a certain type of way. He wants things done a certain type of way. And you have to have a certain type of grit to function in that organization. And often you're looked at as villains. It's part of the reason why it didn't work out with LeBron long-term in Miami. So a lot of very difficult standards there. Not that LeBron didn't live up to it, obviously. He did an amazing job there. But it's not for everybody long-term. And this is a situation that Jimmy is thriving in. Miami is the third lowest seeded team to reach the NBA Finals since 1984. And this is the first finals matchup between two teams who missed the playoffs the previous season.
It's the first time ever?
Yep. Well, think about it. I mean, to go to the finals, now to go from not making it to the playoffs to making it to, say, the Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals or, you know, making some noise in the playoffs is different. But to go from not making the playoffs the year before to the finals.
Well, I could say the Lakers have the best leader as a player in the league. And the Heat, between Riley and Spoelstra, certainly have one of the best leadership duos in the front office in the league. And in the bubble, what has mattered more than anything? Leadership. So you've got this Riley Spoelstra and then LeBron, and you know, we've seen a lot of teams dovetail in this. Like, didn't want. I heard a story over the weekend it was somebody that works here that's got a good source. He said by the end of it, the Clippers struggled in the bubble, wanting to be in the bubble. It was a constant topic.
Well, yeah, I think Chris Broussard mentioned it last week also that he almost didn't pick the Clippers because they didn't want to go into the bubble to begin with.
And griped about it when they were in it.
Right. I mean, yeah, you had to completely mentally buy in. I mean, look, LeBron hasn't brought his family there. He's talked about how hard that's been on him.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun finals. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And, you know, not to throw shade or anything, but pretty remarkable that after losing LeBron James in 2014, Pat Riley has been able to completely retool the organization.
Yeah.
No Chris Bosh, no Dwayne Wade, and 6 years later is back in the NBA Finals without LeBron James.
Yeah.
Cleveland, not so much.
Not so much.
So the Rams battled back from a 25-point deficit against the Bills yesterday, but did not complete the comeback. On a Buffalo fourth down with seconds remaining in the game, the Rams were called for pass interference, giving Josh Allen a new set of downs.
That was crazy.
The Bills ended up scoring to win 35-32, and after the game, Rams safety John Johnson, Jared Goff, and Sean McVay all talked about that call.
No, it was the wrong call, but, you know, we can't narrow it down to that one play, but I don't think it was a P.I.
There's a million calls in the game, and, you know, it's unfortunate that one like that can go make it, you know, essentially, you know, that they don't call it, the game's over.
I hate it for our guys that it ended up the way that it did and came down to some of the things that it came down to. But we're a tough group. We're a mentally tough group. We're going to use this as an opportunity to respond.
No, unlike the Saints, they didn't blame everything else on everybody else. In the end, it was a bad call. But as Jared Goff said, you can't boil a game down to a call.
No.
You fell behind like 28-3.
No, it was absolutely a bad call. I know Bills fans don't want to hear that, but it's so what? You won the game, so who cares what people think it's a bad call or
not? By the way,
sometimes that's how it goes. You have bad calls earlier in the game, you have bad calls late in the game.
You know what I like with the Rams though, Joy? Last year when they struggled, they would bail on the run. The Rams kept running the football, they didn't panic, and they slowly but surely got back into the game. It was like a really impressive loss. Like, okay, we're over our skis here.
Yeah.
You can either quit like the Giants did or the Jets did, or you can say, all right, let's just be patient, run the football, get the chaos out. And they
make
got
adjustments at halftime. Yeah. This is clearly what they did. They're a well-coached organization, and that's how it goes sometimes. No one's boiling it down to just that play. That's not how, first of all, you shouldn't be down that much anyway for it to come down to that to begin with. But yeah, it was a bad call. And you're right. The difference is they're not going to let it derail their season.
Yeah, move on.
The Bills play the Raiders next week, and the Rams play the Giants, so they'll get right back on track. Finally, the Patriots put over 400 yards of offense for the second straight game yesterday. But this week, it was Rex Burkhead carrying the load. He scored three touchdowns in the Patriots' 36-20 win over the Raiders.
They showed all their running. Sony Michel. They had a rookie kid, Taylor. I mean, they showcase running backs all day.
Well, Cam Newton said he's happy that New England has a bunch of different ways to win.
We want to put defensive in fits, knowing that, you know, we have so many different ways to, you know, beat you, you know, and a plethora of different type of schemes. And I think that's been our biggest edge for the most part, just having that ability to attack the teams in many different ways to still be successful.
He's right, because he didn't have a spectacular game yesterday. 17 of 28, 162 yards, and one touchdown and one interception.
Yeah.
He had 9 carries for 27 yards, but this is good. Spread it around. It doesn't always have to be on Cam.
They didn't look anything like they did the previous week, even some of their personnel. They made a decision, we're going to give the ball to running backs. And by the way, it's pretty smart, because this is not a dynamic offense. So why put Edelman after that game in which he had like 160 yards? This is what they do. They draft guys. They bury them for a year or two. There'll be games Sony Michel won't even be on the traveling roster. But yesterday, you could tell very early. Ball control. The Raiders' defensive front seven is not very good. We're not going to get. They watched Monday Night Football and said, we're not going to give Derek Carr 15 possessions and to pick us apart.
That felt very much like a it had Belichick written all over it.
Yep.
Like, we're not going to do anything that you expect us to do. We're going to completely game plan for you. We're not going to rely on what you think we're going to do.
Yep.
And, you know, brought the Raiders back down to earth.
Yeah. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Greg Jennings is doing some analyst work for Fox. He was doing that Rams-Bills crazy game yesterday. The former Packer is now joining us. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, a decade in the NFL, a Super Bowl, a second-round pick, and multiple Pro Bowls. I'll get to the Rams-Bills in a second because it was crazy. But I want to touch on Green Bay. I think they're really dialed in, Greg. I do wonder this, though. There are teams in this league that are really good, Seattle, but they need a pass rusher. New England, they've got to get some speed on the perimeter. And I look at Green Bay, and I don't know quite what it is, but they feel just a notch below the Chiefs, Ravens, and Buccaneers. Or am I wrong? Do you think this is a Super Bowl roster?
It's definitely a Super Bowl roster. When you look at what they have defensively, the talent on all three levels. You look at Kenny Clark in the middle to shore up that defensive line and to apply pressure from the nose tackle position. Then the Smith brothers, obviously, Za'Darius Smith. And then you got two corners that can really compete and get you the ball back on the outside. And then offensively, what's been most impressive about this Green Bay team is they're finding ways to get the ball to guys who have otherwise we would be looking at them like, who is this guy? What is he going to do? Is Allen Lazard who he is? Is MVS who he is? They proved it last night that they can win without just solely relying on Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Davante Adams, and other guys stepped up and made big plays, which allows you to have deep runs as a playoff team.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. I'll tell you that. They are fun to watch. I'm watching Dallas yesterday, and I said to start my show, I said, I rarely go to a five-star restaurant, but I go to a lot of three- and four-star restaurants, and I always go back. And I rarely go to the movie that wins the Oscar, but I go to a lot of good movies, and I watch Dallas, and I'm like, they're a good football team. They're not great. This isn't five-star. They're not good enough defensively. Their offensive line now is kind of makeshift. I think the problem with Dallas is people, because they're America's team, they expect good to become great. And I watched them last night. They're a good team. They almost beat Seattle, and they almost beat the Rams. But I think their ceiling is good. When you watch them, what is their ceiling?
It's tough, man, to watch this team and to look at them, because you're right. The expectation right out the gate is they have all this talent. So, yes, let's put them up there with the elite teams in the National Football League. And that's just not where they are.
No.
And it's proven week after week with these first 3 weeks, they could very well be 0-3 right now.
Yeah.
Given the heroics last week. But I don't like what I'm seeing out of the Dallas Cowboys defensively. Even offensively, they look good at times, but they're not hot early. It's not consistent from first quarter through the fourth. They're one of those teams that I don't know why, but it's like their engines start to boil and start to really turn over when they're down and their backs are against the wall, and you can't play every game like that in the National Football League.
You know, you start looking around the league. Obviously, we'll have a great matchup tonight. And I think there's a couple of teams. Seattle's a prime example where they really need a pass rusher. New England really needs a deep threat. You can't ask Rex Burkhead and Julian Edelman to carry you. When you watch New England or you watch these teams like Seattle, have you ever been on a Packers team where everybody in the locker room knows we got to make a move at the trading deadline? We are so close. Do you think the Seattles and the New Englands, if you ask the players privately, know they need just something else?
Yeah, everyone always knows what's best for the team as a player. It's just, that's a given. We should all be GMs. When I was with the Packers, we were lights out as far as the passing game. We absolutely had a non-existing running game. And so I remember Marshawn Lynch was with the Buffalo Bills, and there was rumors that we were going to trade to get him. And we are all excited. We're like, yes, we'll go all in, whatever we need to do, let's make it happen. If we get Marshawn, if we get beast mode, it's over. It was a no-brainer. And it didn't work out. So when you look at the New Englands, when you look at all these other teams, that the Seattle Seahawks, everyone in that locker room knows if we can just get this one piece, we will be so much better off, well off. The New England Patriots, if you give them a deep threat, a legitimate deep threat, they're already finding ways to beat you in a variety of ways. Consider them having a deep threat. It would be scary, even scarier for opposition. So every team, every player knows what they need. It's just a matter of the GM's actually listening to the players, because we're always right.
That's right. Okay, so you did the Bills and Rams yesterday, and much of the country perhaps did not see it. But Buffalo is one of those teams that there's so much I like about him, but I've seen him against Miami and the Rams leave a lot of points on the field. Kind of your overall takeaway is Buffalo and the Rams, because those are two teams now that I think a lot of the – we know they're good. They've got all sorts of Pro Bowlers. We know they're good. We know that you can't run on the Bills. We know the Rams have all sorts of offensive weapons. You're at that game. Are these special teams? What do you make of the game you broadcast yesterday?
I thought it was a really good game. I thought there were a lot of highs and lows. I'll start with the Rams. When you look at the Rams, you said it earlier before I even came on, Sean McVay's ability and willingness to trust what they do best, and that's run the ball and allow their running game to set up everything that they do. Their keep action, their play action, their all of their plays is stemming off of their run action game. And if they can't establish the run, then none of what they have planned works. He stuck with it, and they were able to fight back into that game because everything looks the same to the defender. Now, on the flip side, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, I honestly like everything about this team. They didn't show well in the second half. They showed a little lax, but Josh Allen has taken a step in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
They are a well-coached team. Sean McDermott has a sound football team. They're not highly penalized. They put their players in positions to be successful as individuals and collectively as units. They have depth at the receiver position. Stephon Diggs didn't have a big day, but you get a young rookie in Gabriel Davis and Cole Beasley and all these others stepping up. And again, as I talked about with the Packers, when you can find others stepping up and you have a quarterback who is maturing and who is really believing in himself and the talent that he possesses, this Buffalo team is really, really scary.
Yeah, you know, it's like he reminds me a lot of Big Ben. It's a cold weather city. November and December, you're going to play in crappy, windy, cold weather, and Josh Allen and Big Ben are huge. Mitch Trubisky in Chicago doesn't work. He's a weak-armed quarterback. When you go to these cold weather cities, these Baltimores and Pittsburghs and Buffaloes and Green Bay, there's a reason Favre and Aaron Rodgers are successful. You got to be able to throw it through wind. Josh Allen has played so well. He is a baby Big Ben. If he didn't see...
He really is.
15 years ago, that's what Ben looked like.
He really is. And what makes him even more scary, a lot even scarier than Big Ben, is his ability to actually run. He is willingness to run. Like, he eludes tackles, he sheds tackles, and then he doesn't shy away from being tackled. So you have a very confident quarterback that believes in the pieces around him and believes in the scheme that he's in and ultimately believes in himself.
Great stuff. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the NFL. Couple of Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl ring, too. Fox Sports NFL analyst. Doing a great job, by the way, on the games, Greg. Thanks for stopping by our show.
Appreciate it, Colin.
All right, Doug Peterson's getting crushed in Philadelphia for coaching, a decision we'll talk about, and LeBron's in the finals with a fifth head coach. Plus, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good to have you back. Sometimes you lower your standards and you just try to salvage something. You're salvaging a relationship. It's never going to be great with your parents, but just try to salvage it. You're salvaging a vacation. You know, you forgot your luggage. Airline loses all your luggage. You're in Miami 3 days. Let's just salvage the weekend. Let's just have fun. Go to the beach, hang out. This happens all the time. You're a dad. You want to grill burgers for the family. You get into a conversation. You go outside. You burn the burgers. You're just trying to salvage dinner so the kids aren't screaming and yelling. You salvage stuff. Sometimes you lower your standards. Philadelphia was just trying to salvage a tie yesterday. Nothing went right. The quarterback was awful. You lost another offensive line starter. None of your wide receivers are healthy. Let's get the hell out of here with a tie. In the NFC East, ties are better than losses because everybody in the division is losing. We'll just get out of here with a tie. So everybody in Philadelphia, this is what they do, wants to bang on Super Bowl winning head coach Doug Peterson, who outcoached Belichick in the Super Bowl. Doug's smarter than the fans who are ripping him. But, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's what they do. They rip the coach. So yesterday they decided to salvage the game in which they no healthy, bad quarterback, and they punt. Instead of kicking the winning field goal, they punt, right? There's a penalty there. They were set up for a field goal. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, delay a game. Knocked him back 5 yards. And Doug Peterson said, hell with it. Punt, let's get out of here with a tie. Well, folks, if you miss, which you probably would, Joe Burrow gets the football, has to complete one ball for 12 yards, which if you watch Joe Burrow yesterday, he's really capable of doing. He's really capable of doing. And then you walk out with a loss. It's the NFC East. The NFC East is terrible. You could literally win the NFC East and not get your act together until week 12. You know, like last year. You're going to win this division potentially at 7-8-1. Okay? I mean, or 8-7-1, whatever it is. Doug Peterson, you're just trying. Nothing's going right. We can't get our act together. We're struggling everywhere offensively. Here's Doug after.
The false start backed us up, so we just said, hey, let's just punt the football here. We didn't want to give them the ball, you know, towards midfield, or even a chance to go for it on fourth down and long, incomplete pass, something like that. They get the ball short field, they could kick a field goal and win the game. So, just made that decision. Hopefully, something positive might have come out of the punt.
I got news for you, folks. It feels a lot better tying than losing. It really does. Maybe in another division, if you had the Steelers and the Ravens in your division, you're like, let's go for it. I get that. That's not this division. Seven wins may win this division. So when you can't figure stuff out, just salvage, just get a tie and have a whole, cross your fingers on health next week. All right, I don't know if you noticed this, but LeBron's in another finals. In the Michael Jordan-LeBron debate, here's three things you can no longer argue because they're like facts and stuff. LeBron's going to take his fifth head coach to the finals. Michael could never take a second head coach to the finals. LeBron's going to take his third franchise to the finals. Michael Jordan couldn't win half his games with his second team. When LeBron James leaves a franchise, they all deteriorate, even the good ones, like Miami, the well-run ones. Michael Jordan leaves, the Bulls were incredibly viable. Almost made the finals the next year. I want you to think about this, and this is what I've always argued, where LeBron's got a little Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan didn't elevate all his teammates. He took the ball out of other scorers' hands, but he was a remarkable player. LeBron elevates everybody. Everybody plays their best basketball or a version of it. If not statistically, they win more games with LeBron. Take LeBron out from the Lakers roster. Now, I want you to think about this. Take LeBron out of this Lakers roster. The starting lineup would be this in the West. JaVale McGee at center, Anthony Davis at forward, Kyle Kuzma at forward, KCP, Alex Caruso. The bench would be Rondo, Danny Green, and Dwight Howard. That's not as good is the Anthony Davis Pelican teams that had an all-star in Jrue Holiday, a younger Rondo, and Boogie Cousins. And that team struggled to get into the playoffs. This team's in the finals. And they're not only in the finals. They blew through the West. They crushed Portland in five. And then crushed Westbrook and Harden in five. And then Denver was red hot and they crushed them in five. Like there's in the MJ LeBron debate, you got to give up certain arguments. Like, well, I mean, LeBron did it in the East. No, he just blitzed through the West. Well, I mean, LeBron James is fifth head coach to the finals. Michael could do it with one. Third team to the finals. Michael could do it with one. And every team LeBron leaves is a mess, even the well-run teams like the Miami Heat. Michael left and the Bulls were fine. Like Michael in his prime, I do not believe can take this roster, even Anthony Davis to the finals. This is just old and weird and disparate parts. I mean, here's what's interesting is that the Cavaliers, the second time he got there, and the Lakers, people have a short memory. They were both in chaos. I mean, the Lakers were in chaos. Even with the late Kobe Bryant at the end of his career, they were a mess. Nobody trusted the ownership. The owner's kids couldn't get along. And then they had Magic, and the Magic resigns and doesn't tell anybody and has a press conference and rambles on. And then it's the agent becomes GM. And the Cavaliers, the second time he went there, they just drafted Anthony Bennett. They were a mess. And LeBron, first year finals. It took LeBron a second year. They had to redo the roster, but it's just incredible. 17th year, The Cavs and the Lakers, the last two teams he's been on, utter chaos until he arrives. Finals within 2 years. You're 17. Some of those MJ arguments, you just got to put them to rest, dude. You lost them. You just got to put them to rest. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, and a Monday next.